The Lord is calling us higher, and it starts with prayer. Join us week after week as ministry leaders from all over the world intercede on behalf of the singles. The Singles Prayer Call is designed to encourage single women and men to become whole, to develop a strong relationship with Christ, to produce good fruit in their lives, to find their purpose, to work in excellence, to develop a stronger prayer life, and reading the Word of God. Stay tuned for the Singles Prayer Call.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Singles Prayer Call. I am Danielle Powell. Welcome to all listeners. If this is your first time, welcome. If this is your second, third time, fourth time, or 20th time, welcome back. This is a pre-recorded call. I have a very special guest on today. Her name is Pasabella, all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. She is the pastor of Pasabella International Ministries. She is a minister of God in the Word and music. She is an author, speaker, and singer. She is also the founder of Good Girl Initiative. As you listen on today, open your minds and hearts as she brings forth a powerful word. Stay tuned.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am so happy to be with you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to the woman of God, Danielle Pyle, for inviting me to this prayer call, this meeting with the singles. And I am so honored to be here with you all. I give all praise and glory to the Lord Jesus. He is worthy to be praised forever and ever and ever in the name of Jesus. My name is Pasabella, and I am currently based in Lagos, Nigeria. I lived in the U.S. for 16 years in the state of Georgia until the Lord called me back home to Nigeria, and this is where I do ministry for now. He's called me to the area of singles and married to prepare the singles to have a great godly marriage and to help the married have great godly marriages. So I am so excited to be here. Website is www.pastorbella.com. And once again, thank you, woman of God, Danielle Pyle. I'm so happy to be here. All right, what will the Lord have us talk about? When Danielle contacted me, she said that this was the month of for women, looking in the book of Esther, the ministry that the Lord raised me up to do in His name is to commission Esthers, raise Esthers for this generation. First of all, He had to raise me as an Esther. And so that's what I do. And this whole month of March, doing the whole book of Esther, teaching on it, we actually do the Esther fast in the ministry that I run. No food, no water for 3 days and three nights. It's a breakthrough fast. And I just got done with that. I believe it was even during the fast that the woman of God, Danielle Pyle, contacted me. So when I was praying to the Lord on what to discuss with you all, looking at the life of Esther, He mentioned two things to me. He mentioned sexual purity, because we see that in her life. And He also mentioned the Rhema word He had given me back in year 2017 when I had been studying on the book of Esther. Because when God calls you to an area, you really have to study on it, equip yourself, and really ask for divine revelation. And I saw something that I started to call the Esther principle. So I believe I am largely addressing singles. So I'm going to start from, before we go into Esther proper, starting to talk to you about sexual purity and the importance of keeping our bodies sexually pure as unto the Lord. And you'll also see that in the book of Esther, all right? Sexual purity is so important to the Most High God. When we go into the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 8, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Sexual purity is highly, highly important to God. There's so many scriptures in it. I don't have the time to go into some of them, but this is a key one. So there is that sexual energy. Whether we like it or not, we are Christians. We desire to have sex. We're single and we're looking forward to getting married and having sex and seeing what it's all about. You have this sexual energy. You really, really want to have sex because God made us as sexual creatures. The whole world is sex crazy. It makes it really hard to stand up for purity, right? The years are going by. You are getting older. You are wondering, what's the use? Why not just have sex and see what the excitement is all about? Let me tell you how the devil operates. Addictions start innocently. Sex is really the forbidden fruit. Once you have it, you want more of it. Then you get to the point you justify your sin and that God understands and will forgive you as you indulge in all manners of fornication. Be careful. Anyone who participates in sexual sin is on a pathway to hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. There are not only physical consequences of fornication, but also spiritual ramifications. And it is so huge how it can tamper with you, your spiritual blessings, your physical blessings. Sexual sin is so deep. Again, I don't have the time to go into it right now, but you got to be careful. You got to be so careful. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is important to God. This is not an area that we should joke around with. Unfortunately, the devil, hey, he's out there tempting us, and hey, sex is pleasurable, highly pleasurable. So we just have to understand that it is something that the enemy is using to tempt the Christians so much, the children of God so much. And that's why I'm acknowledging that we do have sexual desire. I'm not the kind of Christian that'll tell you it's not there, or, you know, I have to acknowledge it. We are sexual creatures. Except some rare people who are called asexual, they're not interested in sex at all. But the majority of us, we are interested in sex. We want someone to love. We want that person to love us. We want to be kissed. We want to be hugged. We want to be made love to. It is absolutely normal. But as a single Christian, you are commanded by God not to indulge in it. Not to indulge in it. And speaking to you as a woman, you know, now, being a virgin and never having sex before, do you want to waste your virginity on some awkward moment with a man who will never marry you, or really be naked and unashamed before the husband God has for you? The two of you taking the time to know each other sexually and perfecting your compatibility so that the awkwardness of your first time fades into the spectacular experience of what sex is supposed to be. Anyone who lives a life obedient to God will be highly rewarded for it, okay? So to get to the heights of sexual pleasure, you must have sex again, again, and again. Practice makes perfect, huh? So the unfamiliar becomes familiar, and then you'll understand that, oh yeah, sex is a big deal, highly enjoyable, a gift from God, no doubt, but there is a time and season for it. It is only for the married. That's what God created sex for. To be for the married, because whether we like it or not, as pleasurable as sex is, it also procreates. It is through sex that children come about. And that's the plan of God to populate the earth when he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. Okay, so back to that sexual energy of yours. It's there, isn't it? Boiling beneath the surface, highly impatient to be released. How can you channel it positively? Sex involves your mind, your soul, your body, and your spirit. It is very consuming. Why does God tell us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength in Mark 12:30? The only other time those four components are involved at once or when you are having sex. Sex is very important to God. It was created to be the highest form of intimacy between a husband and wife, but the enemy creeped in and tainted it. Now the highest point of intimacy has been reduced to a one-night stand between strangers. It has been reduced to an act that contains only lust and no love. It has become the devil's special method to destroy the lives of Christian youth and rip their destinies into shreds. God wants to be fully engaged with you. God wants you to be excited about him and seek him continually. The only one that can help you channel your sexual energy is God. If you pour all that passion into the things of God, get to know God intimately, throw your weaknesses and imperfection at his feet, you will rise. You will thrive. You will make it. You will survive until the appointed time God has created for you to have sex with his blessing. When you are married, you are free to indulge in as much sex as you want, and God will only applaud you for it. Amen. Be patient. You must wait on God to renew your strength. When you are going through temptation, go on a fast immediately and lock yourself in with God. Your spirit is strengthened to overcome the weakness of your flesh. God is the key to everything. If you try to succeed by your efforts, you will fail. We are made to crave and desire sex. Only the one who made us can keep these desires under control. Seek your creator. The maker of sex is the maker of you. He knows your weakness, your struggles, and your pain. He will only step in when you invite him and fully trust him to have his way in your life. Hallelujah. All right, so now let's go into the book of Esther, okay? I've acknowledged sex. Hey, sex is awesome. Sex is good. Sex is tempting. But there is an appointed time for it, singles. Wait on the Lord for the one that he has for you. Not when you're engaged to your fiance now. When you have said, I do, and you have become spouse to spouse, not fiance to fiance. Okay, you have to say, I do, and be married in the eyes of God and men before you are cleared by heaven to have sex. Okay, let's go into the book of Esther. Praise God. I'm going to talk about keys to a blessed marriage looking at the book of Esther. Esther was a woman, Jewish orphan girl, before she became a queen. All right? And as women, we have to rise up. If you don't have a good prayer life before you marry, you will have to learn it in marriage, because you will quickly find out that only the divine intervention from God many times keeps peace in your home. To get God to intervene on your behalf, you must pray and seek an intimate relationship with him. Okay, and this is the part that I'll talk a little bit more about before I round up, called the Esther Principle. So, keys to a blessed marriage based on the book of Esther. Number one, prayerfully be a woman of virtue. Esther chapter 2 from verses 1 to 4. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, or eunuch, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. So we know Vashti was the initial queen of King Ahasuerus, all right, and she was displaced because of submission issues. So a woman of virtue first of all, has a deep relationship with God. She is crafted in purpose and clothed in dignity. She is not a fornicator and certainly will not be an adulterer because she honors God with her body before and after marriage. If you have participated in sexual sin or are doing so right now, repent and ask for God's mercy. Keep your legs crossed until your wedding day. Honor God with your body and your life. Her husband is secure in her, knowing she will never be unfaithful. She is a doer of the word. Jesus defines her, not her husband. A king, a mere king, is seeking virgins in the land. He wants a woman that has never had sex before. And this is a mere human king. What about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself? Jesus requires us to be sexually pure. He requires us to walk in holiness and righteousness. So sexual purity is part of our holiness and our righteousness. Now let me go into marriage a bit. So many women get married and let their husbands define who they are. Only Jesus can define you. Only Jesus should define you. You are your husband's helpmate, but you have your own purpose to fulfill. A woman who is strong in Christ will not lose her identity becoming a wife and a mom. It is very easy to lose who you are when you are busy taking care of the home. There is more to you than that. Don't lose sight of it, because when you die, your husband and your children will not stand with you. You will face God alone and give an account of your life. The only way to remain in virtue and purpose is to stay connected to God. One problem with a lot of married women is we idolize our husbands. We put them on a pedestal to fulfill every need and insecurity in us. Be careful. Your husband will disappoint you because he is a human being. Idolatry is not just having a statue that you worship. It can be a living, breathing thing. Do not idolize your husband. Let God be sovereign and first in your life. He will teach you with his word how to be a good wife to your husband. In Esther chapter 2, verse 12 to 17, please read it. I can't read all these scriptures because of time, okay? It took Esther one whole year to meet with the king. In that year, while she was being beautified outwardly, she did something else the other girls were not doing. She was in a relationship with God. She was humble and teachable, and God favored her. When you are single, be like Esther while you are waiting for your king, and serve God with all your heart, and he will show you favor. Number two, keys to a blessed marriage. Prayerfully love your husband. You see, I'm putting prayer in front of everything, because you need prayer to even love your husband. I'm telling you, he will get on your last nerve, and you need the love of God to forgive him and love him anyway. Human love does not sustain your marriage. Only God's love will. You must forgive. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's a lot. You need to pray for wisdom and strength to love your husband in the way that it will glorify God. He will disappoint you and make you angry, but you will learn forgiveness and must practice the unconditional love of God. Only God can empower you to love your husband when he is unlovable. Do not stop giving your husband food because you're angry with him. Read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Do not reject your husband sexually because you are angry with him. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 3-5. These are the doorways for the enemy to enter and displace you in your home. There are many women ready to feed and sleep with your husband. Don't make your husband an adulterer, seeking in other women what he lacks in you. You are sending him to hell. Play your part as unto God, and your home will be blessed for it. A wife is the temperature of the home, so stay warm. You are the temperature of the home. If a human body is too cold or too hot, that person is sick and near death. If you are angry and bitter as a woman, you are bringing death into your home and making it uncomfortable for your husband and children. You will need the strength of God to love your husband, and you only receive God's strength when you spend time with him and carve out a relationship with him. Number three, prayerfully respect your husband. Respect is everything to men. If you want your husband to love you, you must respect him. Your respect softens his heart and keeps his love continuously towards you. Even when he is not loving as you like, you must obey the word of God and respect him. If you obey God, he will fight your battle for you. Don't expect God to divinely intervene in your situation if you are disobedient to his word. Esther learned how to respect a man as a young child. She allowed Mordecai to continually guide her even after she was queen. She humbled herself even though she was literally now his ruler. Esther chapter 2 verse 20. She also respected the keeper of the women, a eunuch in the palace, and listened to him attentively. Esther chapter 2 verse 15. Of course, that guarantees she became his favorite. A man will be a man whether he is a eunuch or not. Respect is everything to men. A eunuch is a man who has been castrated and is unable to have sex. These were the only men kings trusted to have in charge of the women in the palace. Respect is humility. Be humble. Don't nag your husband and don't be quarrelsome. Nag God instead about your husband and he will fight for you. Solomon, the wisest man in all the world, wrote this twice. He was definitely an expert on women with 700 wives and 300 concubines. He knew what he was writing about. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 25:24, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Twice he mentioned it. What is King Solomon saying? We need to watch our tongues, ladies. Even during courtship, we are already being evaluated. If you talk down on a man and you are very quarrelsome, that may be why you are still single right now. And it is also a reason why there are many broken homes. Women are the pillars of the home. If the wife ain't right, the home ain't right. Esther chapter 1 verse 10 to 12, Vashti lost her position as a wife and queen because she disrespected her husband and her king. Your husband is your king. It happened then and it can happen now. You must respect your husband. See why marriage is not as easy as singles often think? There will be days you don't feel like being respectful, especially when he talks to you argumentatively or when he takes you for granted. There will be days you want to say, I told you so, mockingly. Wife, hold your peace. God will not fight for a quarrelsome woman who knows the truth and how she should behave according to his word, but ignores it. God will fight for a virtuous woman who knows the truth of his word and lives by it. So now let me quickly go into the Esther principle. Esther principle is basically, in summary, when physical situations are out of your hands, you call on God for his divine intervention. That is the Esther principle. Okay, so what is it? What is this all about? It was when I was reading the book of Esther in year 2017 and the Lord opened my eyes and I said, oh, I see what the Esther principle is. I mean, that's what else can I call it but the Esther principle. This woman operated by a certain principle and it helped her step into her purpose for such a time as this and also gain her home back because her king, husband, there was a law in the land that you could not approach the king unless he invited you. And even though he loved Esther above all women, she was beautiful, she got the throne, she was his queen. For 30 days, he had not requested to see her. And this was the time Mordecai was telling her to go before the king and make a request. And Esther was like, ooh, I don't know, he's gonna kill me if I do that. But she decided to do something. She took the matter to God. Read Esther chapter 4, verse 10 to 15. The Esther principle, as I describe it, is prayerfully take every matter to God before you approach your husband and pray that you make a decision together that glorifies God and is in the perfect will of God. Marriage cannot succeed on physical strength alone. You need to be very strong spiritually and have a deep relationship with God. Esther was afraid to go and speak to her husband, the king, about saving the Jews because the king only invited people to speak with him, not the other way around. Esther looked at the situation physically and saw an insurmountable problem in Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to 17. But when she decided to approach the situation spiritually by going on a 3-day fast and standing on the word of God, Victory was hers. This king who killed people for approaching him without invitation was a baby in her hands. He was so excited to see her, he even offered to give her half of his kingdom. Esther chapter 5 verse 1 to 3. Hallelujah! When did Esther approach the king? After a 3-day fast. What did she decide before she approached? She was resolute and said, if I perish, I perish. You must stand up for Jesus in your home. If you are at a higher spiritual level than your husband, you have to be very wise because you are still required to submit. Don't let your husband lead you away from God in the name of submission. The word of God says, be wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Matthew 10, 16. Know when your husband is making decisions in the flesh and prayerfully take it to God to iron it out for you. That's why it is much preferable to be equally yoked and both be on fire for God. Decisions are a whole lot easier if both of you are spiritually one. Even though we are to submit to our husbands, it is God we submit to first, and you will need to balance this with wisdom and grace. Always tell your husband the truth of God's word in a sweet and respectful tone. If he does not listen, take it to God. Sit back and watch God iron it out for you. I tell you, prayer is like a remote control in your home. It can be quite fun to see how God works everything out in your favor because you righteously stand upon his word. James 5:16. Marriage is prayer all the way. Can you handle all this without the strength and power of God? You will find a prayer warrior in you when you marry. No matter how rosy your courtship is, you will need a strong prayer life to maintain your marriage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3:5. So wives, singles, wives to be, let God fight your battle for you. Operate with the Esther principle and victory is yours. If you approach your husband at the wrong time, he will not listen. So pray for God to go ahead of you and make him receptive to your request. God created him. Your husband is but a child in God's hands. Prayer is the key to maintaining your marriage and home. Prayer supersedes your physical efforts and also outlasts it. Stay rooted in Christ and all shall be well with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So this is where I'm going to have to stop right now. And I just want to go through some brief prayer points that, well, not prayer points, but please repeat after me. Father, please equip me spiritually for marriage. May I never be a disappointment to you or the family that you bless me with. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, please reveal to me who is of you and is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I yield myself to you. I repent of evil sexual thoughts and acts that are outside your will for me. I ask that you wash me clean of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. I ask that you take control of my sexual desires and channel them positively, that I may do great things in your name. Holy God, breathe your holiness into my life, that all I do will glorify you on earth and in heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you once more, everyone listening in on this prayer call. Woman of God, Danielle Pyle, thank you so much for reaching out to me. It's my honor to be here and to be a servant of God and to serve the Lord in this way. I am so excited. My spirit is so excited. God bless you all. Once again, my name is Pastor Bella, and my website is www.pastorbella.com. I'm very active on Facebook. You can reach out to me, PST Bella. That's my name on Facebook, Pastor Bella. And may God bless you. May God lift you. The waiting period, it can get frustrating, but just trust God. Hold on to his word and serve him. Serve him with all your heart. Fulfill your purpose in him. When you're busy for God, just like Ruth and Boaz, when Ruth was busy in the fields, that's when Boaz saw her. Your single season is not for you to sit down and be frustrated and you want to be in a relationship and then you go dating and making mistakes. Hold on to God and ask the Lord to open your eyes. I always teach in my ministry group, we're called the God Girl Initiative. I teach my God girls. I say, hey, when 5 men approach you, you take each man to God. You don't just look at the physical appearance and say, oh, yeah, I like him. He's fly. I'm going to date him. No, you seek the Lord and say, Father, is my husband among these men? You seek the Lord from the very beginning. We don't just date randomly. We date purposefully because we are looking for courtship to marriage, not just random dating. So that's just what I teach them, so that you preserve your heart, you preserve your body, and not have a trail of broken hearts before you end up in marriage, and then you'll have trust issues and all that stuff. God bless you all. Once again, woman of God, Danielle Pyle, thank you, thank you, thank you for having me on here. May the Lord bless us and keep us in Him. May His face continually shine upon us. And may we all have the favor that Esther had in all areas of our lives, maritally, career-wise, ministry-wise, as wives, as mothers, as women in the different spheres of life. I celebrate each and every one of us. God bless you all. God loves you. And I love you. And as I always ended on my teachings on YouTube, this is Pastor Bella, the ultimate God girl. Shalom.
Jesus, we're going to walk it out. Come on, just lift your hands right there and receive that. We are a living testimony. Tonight, we are fully persuaded that what He had promised, that He will perform it. I'll say it again. Tonight, we are fully persuaded that what He had promised, He will perform it. Okay? Okay? See how much you're going to eat this scroll. We are fully persuaded that what He had promised, He will perform it. I am fully persuaded that what He had promised, that He will perform it. He promised to save my family. He will perform it. He promised to see me through college. He will perform it. He promised that my name would be upon every street, every corner. He will perform it. He promised that I'd be the head and not the tail. He will perform it. I am persuaded that what He had promised, that He will perform it. Do I have any persuaded people in here tonight? Are you persuaded by the word? Are you persuaded by what He said to you? Are you persuaded that you are healed? That by His stripes you were already healed? Let Romans 4:21 prophesy to you that I am fully persuaded that what He, not a man, not a system, not a homie, not a hookup, but I am fully persuaded that what He had promised, I can fly off of that right there. I'm a Bible baby. I can fly off of that right there. This is your prophetic word, that we will be a generation that is fully persuaded that what God has promised, that He will perform it. So, Father, we receive the word. Lift your hands now. We receive your promises. For all your promises in you are yes and amen. And we are fully persuaded that you will perform it in our lifetime. We will not wait another day. We will not await another decade. We will not be old and gray-haired waiting for a promise that you made to us. But we will see it and we will enjoy it with our own eyes. Because I am fully persuaded. We'll be right back.
It is so. It is. It is so. It is. It is so. It is so. It is so. It is. It is so. It is. It is so. It is. It is so.
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 It is.
It is so.
It is.
It is so.
Say it is so.
It is so.
It is so.
It is so.
Say it is so.
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 Say it is so. Every promise. Every covenant. Yes, it is. Yes, you remember. Yes, you have. You have remembered. Yes, you have. You remembered us. Yes, it is so.
It is so.
It is so.
Yes.
Yes.
It is so.
It is so.
It is so.
Yes, say it is so.
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 It is so. Say it is so.
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 Declare
it
until your money responds. Declare
it
until your home responds. Say
it is so.
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 Yes.